I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
Welcome, everyone, to Purpose Talk Radio. The song that we just heard is the song Used with Permission from Trinity. And we have Cindy who can tell you a little bit more here about the artist who created that song. Cindy?
The vocalist on that is Jillian Clark. The writers on that would be Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. You can find True Trinity at their website at trueTrinity.com.
And today, what we wanted to talk about, it is the First Friday. And what we wanted to do with First Fridays is to talk about all those firsts in our lives that we have as we talk about purpose and finding our purpose. And one of the big things that I find is we all know that we don't do it alone. We have so many connections in our lives, and one of the connections are mentors. And as we talk about mentors, who are those people that helped us find our way or helped us to determine who we are and what our path would be? Do you want to talk a little bit more first about how to connect in the show, Cindy?
Sure. Yeah, we probably do want to let our folks know how to listen to us. There's a couple of ways, first of all, that you can connect with us on Purpose Talk Radio in general, because every week we do try to bring to you topics about living our purpose. And as we do that, it's at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. Also, we want you to be able to participate live when you can or archived in our shows later. So the first way that you can do it is if you are listening to us live now and you are on the Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Talk Radio show page, please do scroll down on the page to the chat room. Now that chat room is only open during the show, so you will only be able to put your comments and feedback in there, and you'll only be able to see information after you've actually logged into that. Now to do that, of course, you also have to have Blog Talk Radio login, or you can come in as a guest, and only a guest cannot comment in there. So just so you know ahead of time, you can listen and you can come join us, but you have to have a name in order to be able to comment. The other way that you can do that is to call in at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And then the third way is, if you are on the show page and you're out of the United States, you can Skype in. Again, having a Blog Talk Radio account. And you just click on that Skype link to participate. Now, the other way is if you listen to the archived show, which is at the same place as the original link for the show, and you want to comment, give feedback, any of that kind of stuff afterwards, have questions about this topic, please do come over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and have a chat in there as well if you are on Facebook. What we try to do is pin a post to the top of the page for about a week or so in which we have the information about our show. Otherwise, if you haven't listened to it in the last week or during the week that it's aired, then what we do have instead is we have, it scrolls down the page and pretty much tries to go by date or the last time someone commented or posted in it, because it is a group. So having said all of that stuff,
I would like you to also say, Cindy, tell your first and your last name and how you got involved with Purpose Talk Radio.
Oh, okay. It's Cindy Freeman. I've been involved in Purpose Talk Radio. It originally started out about 5 years ago. And in doing that, I was part of this group asked to participate in the song contest for Purpose Talk Radio. At that point, Barbara Patterson saw, connected with me on Facebook through another through a magazine, I think it was, that I was writing for, got my information, and asked if I wanted to be a part of that song competition. And myself with Rachel and Jillian, we looked at the mission of the show originally and said, yeah, I think we got a song or two that we can submit to that. And so we did. And here we are several years later. Barbara left the show since then. Jan Revelle, who was the other co-host on that, she also has left the show, but that's okay. We have since been able to keep it going. And so that's kind of a part of that. Jan, you know, we talk about mentors and things. I learned a lot from Jan about this, about the radio show, about various other things as far as some of the stuff we've talked about in the past shows, some of the reading, some of the following my own intuition, having the guts and to do that and to listen to, you know, those paths. Those golden paths, I guess, that come into my own head that say, hey, this is something I want to be doing or should be doing, and being able to follow through on that.
I like that golden path, because I think when we do click in, we know. I call it a knowing. When and again, if I didn't say, I'm Jane DeGeorge, and when I first heard about Purpose Talk Radio, I would see Cindy's posts on the Facebook pages when I was working full-time and never had this time open. And I think, oh, I like that topic, or oh, I like that topic. And I like the whole idea of the whole of talking about purpose, because what are we here for if not to find our purpose and not to find our connection? And mentoring has always been part of a connection through my work life and my personal life, because I do think we're all joined in connection. And I think there's some fun examples in life, too. The Wayans brothers, the Canadians, the oldest brother, went into comedy and all his siblings followed. And they'll joke about, if he'd have been a plumber, we'd all been plumbers. And they're all comedians. I know in my cousin's family, he's the oldest and he's a printer and his brothers are all printers. And I think mentoring does start in families. And we often talk on this show, too, about favorite sayings or quotes that we like. And one of mine is, it's not what's taught, it's what's caught.
Uh-huh.
And I do think that's true. And again, Facebook is so much a part of our lives now. And someone had put on there this week one of those quotes where they're trying to teach their toddler to say please and thank you. Say to the toddler, say please, nothing. Say thank you, nothing. Spill the milk, swear, and the child swears. You know, they don't repeat. You know, you're trying to teach them, they're not repeating. It's what's caught. It's that passion with what we say it. And I think the whole mentoring part is that passion or seeing what works and really, like, I caught that. And for me, again, I've talked about coming from a large family and you see what works and doesn't work. And becoming a parent, I was the last one in my family to become a parent. And I would say, oh, I like what you did. Well, they had one of my siblings, they had a two-activity rule. You can only be involved with two activities at a time. And I thought, I like that. That seems like good balance. And so we implemented that rule. And even though at times if there was lots on the table, we had a daughter that danced and all sorts of things. So it's only dance was her two activities, because there was like three or four kinds of dancing she was doing it sometimes, or at least it seemed that way because it took several days of the week. So as we talked about for myself, I remember changing fields early on and it changed the course of my career. And I went to work in nonprofits and it was a whole new world to me, because I grew up in a family where your family took care of everything. I didn't really realize back in the 1990 what a huge network of nonprofits there were. And as I went to interview for the job, I had worked in employment agencies, and it was for an employment counselor for a nonprofit, the Women's Center, out in Waukesha. And in the first interview, I dressed like an employment professional, and I had a nice suit on and a thin little thing and all professional and my makeup on and heels. And the first, my direct supervisor said to me, a great interview question, Jane, it was to do counseling with people who are displaced workers and displaced homemakers in particular. So a displaced homemaker is someone who's lost their source of income due to death, divorce, or disability of a spouse. And here I am, 20-something, and they're saying, so what are you going to have in common with these people? How are you going to relate to them? And I looked at her and I thought, oh my gosh, all the rules say be a professional. Don't talk about your personal life. And it was one of those times where it's just answer her question honestly. And I came from a displaced homemaker family. And I looked at her and I said, I'm going to be the person who's going to tell her that her kids are going to be okay. I come from a displaced homemaker family. I landed on my feet. I got to go to college. It's going to be okay, even if they do come from a divorced family. Everything's going to be okay. And it was permission to be myself. And then from how my supervisor was, who was dressed much more casually than I was in black slacks and a white shirt, and then I interviewed with the director, who was dressed in a dress and very professional and typical professional, I should say. I don't want to label it one way or the other. And again, coming from the business world, and I'm asking, well, how long is this person been here? How long has that person been here? And all the supervisors had only been there less than 2 years, and she'd been there 2 years. And I was a little nervous about that. It's like, okay, if I'm going to make this jump, and I'm going to take a pay cut, and all this to come to a nonprofit, which I don't know a lot about. And she could see my discomfort with that, and she looked at me and she said, I said, so all new supervisors, huh? And she said, well, there's something to be said about picking your own team. And that always stuck with me. And not only that, she became one of my mentors. She led that organization and built that organization. And the shelter at the Women's Center in Waukesha is now named after her because she led that organization for 25 years. So mentors, sometimes we pick them and sometimes circumstances pick them for us. And there is nothing like being able to have those people throughout your life. Sometimes they're there in a very structured way and sometimes in a very loose way. However, there's nothing like knowing those people in your life. And I'll give you one more story. More than 5 years ago now, after being working for a really long time, I found myself in a laid off position and looking for a job. And start picking up the pieces and going, okay, what do I want to do? And wondering, okay, going to have to find some references. And I had 25 people, you know, come forward and say, I'll be a reference for you. I'll be a reference for you. And so many of them were previous supervisors and people I'd worked with who I would all consider people who were definitely mentors for me. And that's just a very humbling. And again, what comes around goes around. And in at that same time in my life, when I right before I actually went to work at the Women's Center, I belonged to a group, another way of mentoring and finding mentors. And it was the National Association for Women in Careers. And we had speakers in it every month. And a woman named Marilyn Berger talked about volunteering with both hands. With one hand, you offer your expertise to others. And with the other hand, you learn. And for those of you who don't know, who may be listening, Cindy's teaching me a ton about technical stuff that I don't know. I do have an undergrad degree in communication and mass communication. I have a master's degree in counseling. But this technology thing, whole different issue for me. And I started my own business as a psychic and a medium. However, I have to be able to use all these tools that I always used to have a tech team to do. So as we're doing the radio show and we're asking people to do things, Cindy is definitely the technical mentor on this whole piece. So again, I think it comes full circle as to how mentors fit into everything and are so much a part of our lives. And then the last piece of this for me is there's just so many coaching businesses right now, which just shows people need that piece of expertise, that encouragement to sometimes just get them moving in the right direction.
True. You know, and I look at it, though, too, that, you know, some of our mentors are not necessarily the most likely people you'd think. They don't have to be necessarily older than us or even have more experience than us. There can be a variety of ways that people end up being mentors. I look at my now, I probably shouldn't even identify them because they may come yelling at me later, but my adult nephews now, and I laugh because one of them, when he was about probably 5 years old, I considered him a mentor. And it was because he was very direct in his questions, in his comments. He knew what he wanted to do at that moment anyway. It may have changed 5 minutes later, but, you know. He asked the questions when he needed an answer and, you know, was just there and lived life in the moment. And at that time in my life, I was kind of befuddled about a whole lot of stuff. So I did end up kind of considering him a mentor and a role model. And it was very interesting because I even participated in a competition with the business and professional women at that time. And they asked one of the questions of who do you consider your role models or your mentors? And I answered with him. And I think it kind of got me a couple extra points out of it because it's not what they expected to hear. You know, they expected some, you know, high-making money person or something like that. And, you know, in that case, at that time, it meant a lot more than that. So it was pretty cool.
And it is. I think, again, family, I think, starts so much. And my mom, my parents got divorced when I was in grade school, and my mom stuck it out with the seven of us. She was the displaced homeworker who set me on that course. And so often, she was the one who said to me, well, you're a lifelong learner. You know, go get a college education. Even if you choose to stay home and have children, that education is never wasted. And so being able to have that attitude of knowing I will continuously learn puts me in such a positive frame of mind to not feel like I'm ever done. Be able to continue to be positive about learning about knowing new things. The last position I had in my full-time work was working for the Children's Long-Term Support Waiver for Youth and Social Services. And the waiver is a very complex tool that is how it works, the services, everything. The allowable services is like 187 pages long. How families with children with disabilities can be expected to understand how it works would be very challenging. So my team would learn it and explain it. And I told them education is our number one job. So to be able to pick that up in what is, I'm sure, more than past my midlife and be able to work with that and learn from staff, learn from families. I told them education is our number one job, and every day we're going to learn something new. And, again, we're going to learn from the staff, learn from the families. Everyone gets to take a role in that.
That makes sense. Say, you know, whoever you can learn from, I think, simply enough, can be a mentor at any time.
I don't know where
do you want to go from here?
Well, I know there was a couple that you were going to name in terms of mentors, and I do know that as we talk about that, and I thought we were going to have a few call-ins with this because of the popularity of the topic, and I think so many of the coaching businesses, they start with that because they do know that they have this whole need for information. When I started at the Women's Center as the employment counselor, 25% of my job was running workshops And in running those workshops, it was those soft skills that people needed to know. And basically what they did with that was being able to really look into and at the different things they needed. And if I could have given people one thing, it's so much more than the information. It's having, you have to have the awareness, but you also have to take the action, and then to be able to have the support system to really encourage you as you go into that. So, again, what the folks I was working with were often looking at having to change careers or changing their whole life path. So being able to take, for instance, many of the men that I worked with had been career people who had, their careers had been in the trades, and then they were injured. So now they were looking at retooling and possibly going to school to make half of what they had been making. So really having to reevaluate when their body wasn't able to do what it could do before, how to use that expertise in a way that they could do. And I think there's those big educational pieces, and taking an educational one, and I think some of it's very work-oriented. So we had the trades. The other big piece that we ran into, and that many major organizations did, have to do with even like non-traditional. So you have GE, who many years ago brought in women into the trades in a whole different level, or into software engineering and all of those things, and had discipline mentoring programs so that when you have a culture that's very defined and fast moving, it can be, again, difficult to know what's expected, and it's much easier to catch it than it is to teach it. So it's what's caught. And so they would set up mentoring programs for new employees and then set up women with women mentors. And they have a variety of wonderful programs and community service. And what they did for us at the Women's Center was set up mentoring for our women who were returning to work. So that a big piece of it, though, that I think is really important, Cindy, is the whole idea of how to communicate in that mentoring relationship. It's how is that give and take going to take place, and is it formal or is it an informal relationship? So when we have a formal mentor, like in the work situation, I think they're paying for a mentor. As in a coaching situation, there's some pretty clear boundaries as to what's expected, when you're going to meet. And what they found was, and what there's a lot of research on, is really getting and giving that feedback back and forth. How is that going to be delivered? What do you do with that feedback? How do you incorporate that feedback? When you've had mentors, how did that work for you, Cindy?
I have done a couple of different ways. Well, obviously with my nephew, there wasn't a give and take. But, well, maybe there was. You know, I shouldn't say that there wasn't. I was, you know, his aunt. I hope I had, there was some kind of mentoring going on in that process while he was growing up. But I've had folks, you know, you go on a job and there's somebody there, hopefully that's a little more experienced, that's been able to kind of been assigned to help me learn the ropes, do that kind of thing. You know, and I've had a telemarketing jobs over my lifetime, and that was just kind of a listen to what they're saying, and they, you know, whoever's making the most sales, nobody trained you on that. You just kind of got to listen to it and, you know, maybe incorporate what they're doing. But some of that I couldn't incorporate because it didn't fit my personality either. So it's kind of a take what they say in some of the 12-step programs, you know, take what you want and leave the rest, or take what you can use and leave the rest. Yes, I'm familiar with that part of doing things too. And then I've had more formal mentors as far as coaches are concerned. You folks have heard me talk to, and she's been on the show with Ann Wondra. She was a coach for me for some of my business and setting things up. At the same time, what I was able to do was some PR work for her because it wasn't, even though she's had the, she's got a background in training in that, it wasn't something that she really wanted to do or wanted to learn some of the current things with social media. Now she's taken a lot of that on. It's pretty amazing watching how some of that's gone over time for her as well. Even web design, now she's done her own. She's done, doing a couple other sites. And it's like, you know, I don't know if I've had any influence on that, not necessarily, but I know she has on me just with branching out and learning to do things a little slower than maybe I normally would. You've heard me talk about a couple other people here, and I just posted on their walls too. You know, there's Kat Sturz, there's Charlene Burke. They've both been out here, and originally I met both of them on Facebook. I guess she was kind of originally, we did some exchanges of information, and she was set up as a business coach too for some things. Charlene Burke, I was part of a mastermind with her and some other people that were in business. And it was interesting that even though in a mastermind group, we were all at very different levels of knowledge, we all had something different to share with the rest of the group. You know, some people were knowledgeable social media, some about branding, some about creativity. I can't even remember. There were only like, I think there were six of us in the group originally. And it was just neat for everybody to bounce off of everybody else. And in some cases, even those that didn't have experience with something had ideas that they could share. And sometimes the newer, fresher ideas were even better than some of the old, tried and true kind of things, because some of that stuff everybody was doing or it was getting stale. So some of that, well, have you tried? Did you think about? It just came out of like a discussion, I think, was a cool piece of mentorship too. So, you know, I've listed a whole lot of different kinds in that, you know, over the years.
So I'm hearing open-ended questions and that discussion part to the feedback.
I think that's where most of it comes in. For me, I don't like people saying, you've got to do it this way. If anybody can see my face right now, it's like, no, that's not, that does not work well with me at all. Have you tried? Now, if I'm doing something entirely wrong, yes, please do tell me right to the point saying that is not going to work and cut it out. That I want to hear. Then don't sugarcoat it. And I'm not looking for sugarcoating either when somebody says, have you tried? But I don't want to hear, you must do it this way because it's the only way to do it, because I don't ever believe there's an only way to get one thing done.
Well, and I agree with you. I think that whole idea of no one likes to be told what to do, unless it's a safety issue, like never ever, you know, wear a tie by the cutting machine. Don't wear dangly stuff by the grill, you know, that kind of stuff. Short of safety, I think for the most part, it really is. So tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what your plan is. Mm-hmm. Have you considered? What would you think about this group, or what would you think about these ideas? Would this work for you? Have you considered? And I think going with some of those ideas definitely makes sense. The whole idea of open communication makes it, it's so much more of that piece of it. And you mentioned the other piece, which is a huge mentor program all the way around, the 12-step program. They call them sponsors.
But
and again, having somebody more experienced than you
show the way
and be available for feedback. And I think that offers a lot of opportunity for people to practice mentorship, being and giving a mentor for those who fit in that area. It's another area of mentorship. We were able to provide family-to-family mentors, which was also a real exciting thing. A group in Milwaukee had created an opportunity for folks to create mentorships with the idea of families who were in poverty and just not perhaps knowing some of those things that you could do. And it was started by a religious network. And when I heard that, I was so excited because we had a family program where, again, you parent like you parent. You parent like you saw people parent. So if we could put families together who wanted to meet each other and learn things from each other, then you could really get at what was caught. Because we could teach parenting all day long, and you could hear blah, 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 blah. However, if you have a group of families who have a connection and care about each other and want to be together, and all of a sudden you see a parent crouch down next to their toddler and talk to them as opposed to yelling at them across the way, or how they react when the child hurts themselves, or how they prepare food for a take-along, it's like all of a sudden, like, oh, that's how the people do it. Oh, so we did a family partnership and created a family to family. And there was so much that both sets of families could learn from each other. And it was kind of exciting to have families who are used to being served become mentors to other families. So there are people who are in social services who serve people have background checks done. Well, if you're going to be serving people and you're a host family, you have to have your background check done. And people agreed to do that. And we set up events, and they got to pick their own families they wanted to connect with. And we had certain events, but then they got to set up other events on their own and set up their own rules and learn from one another. And the people who chose to do it loved it. And got so much from it because for some, it was connecting with a family who had only boys because they had only girls. For some, it was connecting with a family in Milwaukee because they didn't know families in Milwaukee. For others, it was race, age, moms, dads. So, again, that whole what is caught.
That's true, and that makes a lot of sense. Again, what do you see other people doing, you know, that kind of thing as well. It was something that occurred to me as you were talking about those different groups of mentors. Last week, Friday, I stopped somewhere for dinner at a fast food place, and I had my school T-shirt on, and I had a young lady behind the counter ask me if I was a teacher and all that, because I am a bit older as a student, and, you know, or what I was going to school for and all that, and I told her that it was rehabilitation counseling, and I said it's for people that have disabilities or that are, you know, maybe from prison or have something in their background that doesn't allow them to get a job quite as readily as some other people might be able to do that. And here this young lady told me about a group called Best Buddies. And she's like, well, are you part of that? I said, no, I didn't know anything about it. And apparently this Best Buddies group does have a piece that, so the it is for students that have disabilities, and they are looking for mentors and role models to help them get jobs and fit into society in the future. I knew nothing about this. So again, you know, it's something that I would like, and I said something like a big brother's big sisters, and she's like, yeah, I kind of like that, but it's for, you know, more for the disabilities and the work. And I went, wow, okay. This is just out of the blue. You never know if you keep your eyes and ears open and are, you know, not scruffing around. You know, yes, we all rush around things, but sometimes just stopping long enough to smile at somebody or say hi, you can learn a lot, too.
Oh. Yeah,
it's a pretty cool experience.
Well, yeah, so it sounds like an awesome program. And you're absolutely right. What do we learn just by paying attention and being available? And you're right, too, about the big brothers, big sisters. And how there were years that Mary Way had different nonprofits that they highlighted. And one year it was to the Big Brothers, Big Sisters to try to get digs for kids who didn't have, like, the older brother, the dad, the oftentimes it was the male role models that were a little bit more difficult to obtain and maintain. And so, again, looking at those role models, one of the programs that, and again, programs versus the mentoring, what would be better is it the idea of having a program or just showing up on the basketball court and having people to hang out with. And, of course, it's the having the people to hang out with. We had a parenting program where what does a teen father want to do? Does a teen father want to go sit in the parenting group, or would it make more sense and would he talk more if a bunch of young men or young fathers are on the basketball court and then they pick up their kids and they can talk about what's going on? They're going to make that connection more by what's caught than what's taught. And again, a lot of well-meaning things by requiring different exposure to whether it's groups or counseling or that type of thing. However, again, if they can find those mentoring relationships, and oftentimes I think neighbors and siblings and things will fit in those roles. I know that with my dad not being around, we had different neighbors that would take my brothers and have them go to the ball game with them, or I know that I had neighbors who let me clean and stuff for them, so I had spending money. So, again, all through my life, different mentors and different things. And as I take this part of my life, again, different people show up and offer and help. And it's just, it's humbling, and it fills me with gratitude. And again, wants me to also be able to offer what I can to other people who have and would like to have assistance.
So you've talked about your bosses and, you know, some of the likely ones in your life. So who are probably some of the most unlikely mentors you've had in your life?
Unlikely, huh?
Maybe people that showed up that you didn't expect would show up, and you ended up learning something from them.
I want to laugh because the people I'm learning the most from right now are spirits, of course. Because every reading I do, every single one of the readings I do, every client I have teaches me something. Every single one. As a parent, you might think that that would be one of the biggest teachers. I always joke about there was nothing like becoming a parent to have me say, can't we all just get along? However, being someone who very much has a very strong faith that God has a plan for me, I knew that becoming a parent would be my biggest spiritual teaching of all. That it would be that I was absolutely meant to be a parent, and that as a parent, it would be the biggest spiritual lessons of my life. When I was pregnant with my daughter, there was a big cryptosporidium outbreak in Milwaukee County, and we lived in Milwaukee County, and that was when I worked at Syriac Women's Center, and it wasn't a problem in Waukesha County. I was carrying water from Waukesha to Milwaukee, and my husband, who has an iron constitution, he never had a problem, ever, the whole time, with anything. I was sicker than a dog. Like, OB said, all my OBs are coming down with the flu. And I said, don't say all. I don't have the flu. I was sicker than a dog. People would say to me, they're like, aren't you worried about your baby? And I'd be like, no, not at all. She's a gift from God. She's absolutely perfect. And she was. She was absolutely fine through all that crypto. Her mother, on the other hand, was sicker than a dog. I was so much sick time before I ever had her because I couldn't take Imodium or anything with all that sickness.
Mm-hmm.
But it was probably spiritually more than anything. I think being a parent is you realize how little control you have over anything in the world.
So who were you able to go to with that? I mean, was it just reading the paper and saying, oh, I can't drink this water? Were there other parents involved around you? You know, what did you use at those points? I mean, you say spiritually, but
I literally laid in bed, and my husband's like, I'm not sleeping. I'm pretending I'm sleeping so my body doesn't have to go to the bathroom anymore. I kid you not. And lay there and pray when I was sick. And work-wise, I just had great people around me at work. But in terms of the actual parenting stuff and at the hospital, yeah, I still was a little bit of a wreck because it took forever for her to come to. So, again, parenting was the biggest lesson in powerlessness for me that I ever learned. And it was talking to other parents, we have friends that were nurses, but Jen seemed to be allergic to when I started stopping to breastfeed and doing the formula thing. It's like, my nurse friend says, well, her eye sock is dry. If I was in but your eye sock is dry. You ask people, you ask other parents, you ask them what it's like. My mom was still around when my child was a baby, and you ask other parents, you ask whoever. But that was another one of those signposts on the road for me is that the doctor doesn't know. The doctor turns to you and says, well, you're the mom. You should know. And that is so much of a, what is that about? So being able to check out with whomever that needs to be, to be able to check out with whomever is around and being able to ask those questions and speak up needs to be able to do that. But with parenting, I think you try to go to who the experts are, and that's the time in your life when you figure that, when you figure out that the doctor and everybody else figures you're the expert on your child.
That makes sense. So, folks, looking for hopefully some call-ins. You might want to give us some commentary on your own mentors, whoever they may be, at 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074. If you're listening on the archive, go ahead and put that into the Facebook post on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. Let's just see that as well. If you're Skyping in or calling in, please press the 1 so that I know you do want to talk and not just listen. To us as well. Uh, let's see. What are the kind of mentors and people do we want to talk about? I think some of the things that, like you said, there seems to be a lot of folks now going into a more formal mentorship program in the way of coaches and the things that they do for that. And I think that title, I don't know, for me personally, and this is a personal comment, you know, some people are going into coach, you know, they can take this course and all of a sudden they're a coach. You know, some don't really have the experience in that. They may do it because they don't see other options. They want to be self-employed. That's a very, I don't want to say it's a simple career to go into because I don't want to simplify that in any way, shape, or form. But it might be a very easily accessible, there we go, easily accessible career for a lot of people because they have an expertise in a certain area, but they just need a little more training to be able to lead it. I mean, I've turned to, when I started doing this stuff with the Facebook and social media, now this has been about 6-7 years ago, I didn't have a title for it. It was like, okay, I'm not really a social media manager because I don't want to do all your social media for you. I want to teach you how to do it, empower you to do it, and let you do it, you know, and kind of maybe hold your hand here or there. I'll read up on all the stuff. I don't want to necessarily be your person that posts all your stuff all the time because that, to me, you know, this was too much work. And I wasn't maintaining my own well enough to be able to do that. But I could figure out, you know, listen to the other people that had figured this out and still do, you know, the Rick Coopers, the Amy Porterfields, some of these other people out there that spend time and have a staff, and their purpose in life is to go online, try this stuff, look what everybody else is doing, compare it, look at the algorithm, you know, long list of stuff. They can have it. I'll read what they come up with as a summary and learn from that. And that's how I've kind of done it. And I couldn't figure out a title for it. And I think it was Ann, actually, who suggested that I put, you know, Facebook coach on my title. And I thought about that and I'm like, well, you know what, that really makes the most sense because again, it's an empowering. It's not a, I'm going to tell you what's right or wrong. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. And you know, you take what level you want of your own skills and build from that. And it seemed to work for most people. You know, I work with the beginners. And they can go find a whole lot more resources later if they want to do it. And nobody really is looking to have a huge audience. You know, so I guess I understand that growing from the term coach a lot more than I used to. But sometimes I think it's a little bit overused because it's not, the title's not honed in per se as to who it really who really does it and what they actually do. So,
well, you're on a new journey now, being that you're in formal education to be a counselor. Mm-hmm. How do you see mentoring in that role?
Wow.
Well, we're talking formal now. That's why I'm thinking of education.
Right, right.
When I was in, it's been a long time. So 20 years since I've been in school.
Right.
So
right.
Informal and like that. So I'm curious, because we're talking about coaching, we're talking about formal relationships. So I'm wondering, here you are, I'm not sure how far into your degree that you are. Talk a little bit about that.
I think the good part is where I am, our instructors are people who are in the field or have very recently been in the field. Some of them have taken a break from, you know, formal counseling, or they have decided that, you know, they want to just, you know, for a semester or two, they want to teach so that they get away from that, the formal for a little bit. So I'm very blessed to have people that are right in the field and are sharing experiences directly from what they're doing now. you know, of course they are, and they're teaching us at the same time how to deal with confidentiality, which is, you know, top in the counseling field. That is like a number one, you know, you don't tell other people what, you know, what somebody else has said, you know, but they can share the experience without, you know, ever identifying the person. And they can teach us in our classes the same thing. How do you talk about a potential client if you're out there on in your practicum or your internship where I'm not there yet? Or even, you know, you got friends that say, oh, you're in counseling now. What do you think about? And I go, no. We're not getting there. We're not going there. You know, but sometimes, you know, I'm like, if you really want, you know, if you're serious, we'll talk about it. And I'll, you know that it's going to, I can't formally do this with you because I'm not there. You know, but I might be able to talk you through it. I might be able to help you through it. And even then, I've had one where I had to go to a friend, to my counselor, my instructor, and say, you know what? I got a friend that really has this issue. And yes, I suggested she go to somebody else, but she's not comfortable with that right now. What am I allowed to do? I'm not allowed to do where I am right now. Do you have some other resources that I don't know about? And, you know, it's been nice to be able to bounce off of them for that. So, yeah, I know when I get to the point, you know, there's so many hours that I have to have a supervisor that I go to that monitors my work and oversees everything I do, and things need to be recorded, but this confidence is still there because, you know, it's only my supervisor and I that get to it then, and it has to be with the permission of the client and all those kinds of things. But those are, like you said, it's a more formal piece then of learning it.
Yeah, so I was wondering where you were at in that process, because it will be, when you talk about someone can say, well, I'm a coach, when you're a counselor, especially in the rehab field, because it's a licensed title,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a very different path. I was curious where you were at with that path and what you're finding in that field.
Yeah. Well, that's where it is right now. I've got a little, quite a ways to go yet. I'm about halfway through. So it'll be a little bit of time on that yet. It's like I had somebody ask if time to call in, and I apparently didn't get the message sent across, even though I thought I did. So hopefully we get some of you folks participating here. And
well, and I think it goes back to that too, of wanting to be able to be the coach, the mentor when somebody asks for it. I think we informally mentor all the time when we're in. You know, I think in the program they talk about sometimes you only copy the big book someone ever sees. So I think just by how we carry ourselves, how we act, how we do what we do, we role model every day. And I know when people are in customer service roles, I think they very much are doing that on behalf of themselves at all times. But then on top, they represent their organization. You having your shirt on from your college, we're representing your college. I think
sure.
That's so much, I think sport teams, I think the Olympics were just here. So much of that is all mentorship. I got to catch a conversation with Bonnie Blair, who is the most medaled, especially gold medal, speed skating woman for the United States. I think for all countries, but I know for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just talking about how honored she is to be able to advance the sport of speed skating. And so she's able to talk about that. And what a great honor for Wisconsin that she's here.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talk about mentors and then role models and how they live their lives, and she talked a lot about she wasn't competing against other people. She was competing against herself. She was competing against the clock. She was competing against her past score, where she was before, and what she wanted to do from here on out. And she didn't have her child go into it. She's married to a speed skater, and they have a daughter who went to the Olympics this year.
Okay.
In speed skating. And so, of course, the interviewer asks, and what do you tell your daughter? You compete against yourself. You compete against that clock. You want to reach your best. You want to reach it and pull your best out of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we talk about mentors, that's what we're looking for.
True.
You know, you touched on one thing, and I want to just step back on this a little bit. And I don't think people think about this. Now, some of these sports jackets, you know, so you see your favorite football team or baseball team or whatever, and you wear their jackets. And, you know, nobody expects that you're going to be representing that team. By any stretch of the imagination. However, you know, some people wear their company jacket out in the street. They wear their work uniform. They wear their school colors. And I don't think people realize how much that is a exhibit for that company or that school. You know, yes, if I'm out on the street, now it happens to be a private Catholic school, and it doesn't matter that I am, you know, whether I would subscribe to Catholicism or not, it doesn't matter whether I would subscribe to, you know, being a nun who really kind of does, the nuns do all the work around here, or a lot of it as far as keeping this place organized, and they are not most the instructors, they are some. You know, that doesn't really matter. I think just the name of that school and being a Mount Mary University implies something in public. And I don't know how many students think about that until you really said it. I guess I didn't. You know, yes, I advertise my education or that I'm in education or that I may have been an alumni of that school. But to think that, you know, maybe what I'm doing in any moment might impact what other people think of that school. I think it's an interesting way to look at things.
Well, I do know that when, again, my daughter is in professional. My daughter was in college sports and now is a coach for a high school team.
Mm-hmm.
And when they hand out those uniforms, there's a code of conduct handed out with them.
Okay.
And there's an expectation for every practice and every game and conduct for the bus and all of those types of things. Now, in college, I don't know how much they enforce it as much as they do in high school. And again, everybody's a little bit different with that. But I know when I had my first job at McDonald's, it wasn't my first job, but when I first worked at McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
I know when they handed out their uniforms, they expected you to have them on at work and then take them off because they knew, you know,
mm-hmm.
what it was left
mm-hmm.
on them. And I don't know what they do about that now. However, there was an expectation as to what you did and didn't do when you had their uniforms on.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And we had to sign off on that.
Okay. Cool. Well, we do have a caller here that I will
go ahead.
That I will bring on. Just making sure. Yes. And I will let that comment be discussed as it is. And I will. Hello, caller. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio.
Well, can you hear me?
We can.
Well, I guess I'm guest 237. I forgot to log how to log into my Blog Talk Radio. I was one of the first broadcasters so many long years ago. I forgot how.
It's okay, and I decided not to screen the call either. I just thought I'd put you on, so I'm glad
well,
somebody
thank you.
That knows knows the system a little bit.
Well, like I said, it's been forever, and I saw your mention on the Grow Alliance, and I clicked on it. Not being very smart, I didn't know all the time zones, and I found out that you were still there. This is Chuck Bartok.
Hi, Chuck. Hey. Welcome.
How are you?
I thought
yes,
so when
you
said it was Grow Alliance, so good.
Pardon me?
I thought so when you said you were from the Grow Alliance, but I wasn't sure.
Oh.
I didn't presume, so.
Yeah. So the topic was on mentors. Let's talk about our first mentors. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Very good. Well, I didn't catch much. I did catch a few moments here. And it's a great topic because I think all of our lives have individually been impacted by people that we may not think of as mentors, but I think we all know and have experienced people who have had impact on our lives, and some good, some bad, but mostly good, I think.
And we did touch on that, which is good. So I'm going to ask you. I know you've been in your profession and you've been a mentor, particularly in that Grow Alliance. I think from some of your experiences. And been able to share. And some of that is just basic conversation of, hey, this is what's happened with me.
Right.
And sharing it that way without, pounding it into anybody or anything like that, which is a cool way of doing it. So who have been some of your mentors or some of the most unlikely ones?
I've written about this, and I have about 900 hours of podcast call-in talk show on the line. Mm-hmm. And this is a mantra almost because people are bored hearing about it. But I was blessed by parents, both of whom believed in individuality. And secondly, I was blessed with teachers from kindergarten all the way through my senior year at the university of being associated with teachers, mentors, who forced us, encouraged us never to take anything at face value and to question everything they said. And so it was that attitude that I grew up with that I believe allowed me individually, I'm not saying everybody has to live this way, that I've enjoyed a totally autonomous life. And it's based on the fact that, I'm who I am because I decided to be who I am. And it's irrelevant what other people think, do, or say about it. And that's the way I was brought up, and that's the way I was educated, you might say. I am a scientist by original trade years ago, and I remember so well my professors making a statement in class, in lecture, and then turning around and saying, "What do you all think about this?" And nobody should accept what I said as face value. Go find out for yourself. And that's an attitude I don't think we have enough of today.
Yeah.
My children were raised that way. My grandchildren have been raised that way. And now I have a whole passel of great-grandchildren who are following in that, because of their parents, are following in that type of a thought process, you might say. So I can't put it to any one mentor. I do have three authors who I was introduced to in 1960 who, after reading and digesting their work, allowed me to definitely put my definite major purpose on paper and live it, for the last 58 years. So, and that was Orison Martin, Charles Hennell, and Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill was a student of Charles Hennell.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And Napoleon Hill is still very prominent, the Thinking Get Rich books. No matter how old, for lack of a better word, how seasoned some of these things are, it is amazing how their topics come back time and time again and are still very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, our mentor in the Grow Alliance, Charlene Burke, posts
mm-hmm.
about this every day. And that's one of the things I do want to, I do promote my mentors as well. And I'll lead into that one. You know, and she asks, she doesn't say that she knows it all. A lot of times she puts a question out there because she doesn't know the answer, which is really sweet. You know, like, this is what he says, but I, you know, I don't have the answer. So what do y'all think? And that's one way to do it. So I'm glad to hear that your family is being raised in a style that works for you as well, and that they have the choice to decide what they want to do beyond that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, we all have the same opportunity, you might say, and as those people that I mentioned who wrote books. And one of the things that I've made a kind of a mission personally, since life has been good and life is comfortable, I am surprised by sharing these ideas with, quote, younger generations, that there is a more readily acceptance, or more ready acceptance, I should say, to some of these topics. And they're tired of being indoctrinated. They're tired of having to perform according to what is stated. And, you know, they want to cut loose. And when they find out that they have the power to cut loose, regardless of what the system says, I think we, you know, I can't talk to a lot of people, but, you know, if you can impact four or five, and they can go out and impact four or five more, because it's kind of hurts my feelings, I guess, to see generations out there, too many people who believe that they must believe that which is told to them by all of these sources we have. You know, I don't like to use trite words like media. And, of course, the education system is rife, at least here in the United States, is rife with indoctrination, not necessarily believed by the teachers, but they must follow the stricture. You know what I mean? They have to follow the script. And that's a shame also. Or they can teach privately and work differently. Right. So I should get off my soapbox now.
I don't want to take this on a different tangent entirely, but just an example of what you were saying. Well, like I said, I don't know if you had heard it, that my teachers are in the field. So it's nice to have, like I said, not just someone that's pulling it out of the book and teaching it to us as real life examples. But even what you said with our next generation, our current generation, you know, we look at the high school students in Florida and said, you know, who said, no way. I don't care who says, you know, we don't have a voice. I think I have a voice, and I'm going to use it.
That's right.
And if people don't want to listen to me, too bad. I'm still using my voice, and somebody, somewhere's going to hear me.
We want to hope, we hope that they are using their voice and not the voice interjected by other people. That's where I sometimes have a problem.
That's true.
It's one thing to sit up and say, I believe, because I was told to say, I believe. And the other thing is to say, I believe because I really do. And we can't ever make that determination. You know, it's not, we're not in the position to.
And I, again, that's some of where some of our religious teachings come in, too, where I say to anybody, I'll have any kind of discussion on philosophy, religion, any of that kind of topic. Just don't tell me I believe it because so-and-so told me so. You have a reason to. I love those conversations. They are just amazing. And I learn something from every person that wants to have a conversation with me.
My favorite conversation about all of that is less to do with the students of one of the dads that I heard talk. And he's saying, I lost my daughter. We all need to get together and make kids safe. Had known my daughter wasn't safe, I would have been at school. He went to talk to the Board of Education, and to me, he's a leader in a whole different way and a mentor to other parents, because what parent wouldn't be with their child at school to literally stand in front of a bullet if they thought it was unsafe?
Absolutely.
To me, that's the strongest voice that I heard in all of this, and the greatest, like, mentor to other people. Even folks, I get to go visit my child's cemetery. Are you hearing me, Mr. President?
When you heard him say that, you know that that was coming from the individual,
right,
and not a group, not a group think. You know, I mean, that's my opinion.
And he said, how do you think I felt when I came up here today to talk to you and there was a security guard in the elevator to come talk to you?
Oh, man. I'm not laughing.
Ironic. I mean, it was so powerful. His speech was so powerful. He had his two sons there. He goes, I'm a man. These two boys buried their sister. Right. You need to teach for the kids.
I think part of his speech. So thank you for sharing that. I'll have to go back and listen to the rest of it.
It was so powerful to me.
Well, and I hope this stuff, we never want trauma and drama to be a part of us. But it is amazing how much we learn from those experiences. We just hope that the education continues and doesn't just stop, you know, a few days later. Because that's the crazy part too many times. You know, we learned from a flood in New Orleans, but you know what? It flooded again.
Yeah, there's, and again, I'm going to put the blame on us as individuals, because we pay for the privilege of being told how to think, and I'm talking through media. You know, we literally pay for that because we support sponsors. You know, we buy things. You know, I'm not putting the finger on anybody. I think there are more voices. We know there's more vehicles, such as this. This is a vehicle, a new vehicle, a new media. When I started Focus Society of Overachievers back in 2004, that became a media, a place where people from around the world could come and discuss how those three books, Think and Grow Rich and The Master Key and The Miracle of Right Thought, impacted and are impacting their lives. And, you know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of people have downloaded those episodes. And hopefully, you shouldn't say hopefully, that's not a good word. we wish that people were benefited by listening and then taking that idea, concept, and applying action to their own life. And so we have these mediums. The thing that you're doing here is wonderful, and it just needs to be spread more. Look at, I found you on Facebook. See there?
Yes.
So now both of you are living, are both of you in England? No.
No, we're not. Last week's guest was in England, in Scotland specifically. We are both in Wisconsin.
You're both where?
Milwaukee area, Wisconsin.
Oh, well, then, you know, if you ever get to Lake Geneva, pick up our newspaper every Wednesday.
Are you serious? You're down in Lake Geneva?
No, I'm in California, but we publish a newspaper in Lake Geneva every Wednesday.
Okay.
The Geneva Shore Report. There is a Facebook page. I have the girls on the street every day in Lake Geneva and Delavan and surrounding communities around Geneva Lake. They're interviewing people and finding out what the pulse of America is like in that great part of the world.
Okay.
We're not very well accepted by some people. Politicians hate us, but, who cares?
I bet. Well, yeah, I don't know. I'll send you over to the deaf school over there in Delavan and have you get the pulse of that, because that's a pretty prominent part of that, of Delavan.
Which school is that?
It's the Wisconsin School for the Deaf.
Could you please, on Facebook, message me that, and I'll have the girls get over there.
Yep, they need an interpreter, but that's a pretty prominent part.
Well, I think we have that capability. I'm not sure. I don't get there but twice a year, so I sometimes forget everybody's talents. But we can get any type of, a resource we need.
There you go. Well, we'll leave that out there and look forward to when you're able to educate us on that as well.
Well, what they would do is they'll do. We found out that every one of our videos on Facebook gets several thousand views within half an hour to an hour after they're posted. And people not just in that area, but people from.
Right.
Other areas, just like, there's humor in some of it. We try to make it interesting. Very controversial a lot of times also. So, I appreciate you allowing me to be here. I have a lovely lady that's been living with me for 40 years who taps me on the shoulder because I'm not supposed to be doing all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I can't quit, you know.
Coulda, woulda, not supposed to, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because we you know, she has her woodcrafting out in the garage, and she asked for help today, and she just reminded me that I haven't lived up to my end of the bargain and helped her, so I am going to leave. And
there you go. Listen to the end.
Thank
of
you
it,
very man. Much for letting me join you, and I'm sure we'll I see Cindy all the time on the Grow Alliance.
Yep. Oh, good. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. And go take care of that lovely lady who is at the moment reminding you of the quality of time.
Yes. Thank you very much. We'll see y'all later. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you. And again, you know, as you talk about the different quotes and things and the different mediums, the other one, the student is ready. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Mm-hmm. Is always a good one for mentoring. I think that kind of rolls through everything we said today.
True. I know there was somebody I wanted to look at on our Facebook here too. We're not getting the caller. I'm going to read the comments that are coming in here off of one of our pieces. Okay. So one of the comments was being in uniform is very different from wearing a hoodie with a logo. And that's true. And that's kind of what we were saying too when we said that, you know, wearing a sports team or something like that is just, you know, you're saying, I don't know. I don't know if it's the image and the type of outfit that's there. You know, people tend to understand that, you know, a basic T-shirt or a hoodie, those kinds of things are, you're out there for that, promote that team. You're not out there to, be part of that team. It's, you know, it's expected that you're saying I support them, not that I'm here to be and represent them. So, whereas the uniform, of course, actually means that you're representing that team out there. Part of it. So, you know, and you see the sweatshirt, the logo, you know, it's your fans. So, let's see, the other part of this, you know, Chuck made the comment, and it wraps very well into the theme song of Purpose Talk Radio, the I am who I am, walking in spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. You know, and it's part of what I love about this stuff. What I'm looking for is a video. I'm trying to remember where I posted it. I know. It's in a message to someone. I'll go find that. And, you know, there was someone that many of us grew up with that I think has been very much a role model and a inspiration to us over the years by the name of Mr. Fred Rogers. You know, and he made a point of indicating to Congress at one point, the need for educational television, the need for good foundational TV. You know, and we've come to find out that these people who did this kind of TV, you know, Mr. Rogers, Captain Kangaroo, Marvin, we don't have the last name on it. Sorry about that. Message that came back to me. But, you know, these folks were military folks. And, you know, some people don't even realize that was the case because, you know, they, like, were very soft-spoken on things. You know, and even Mr. Rogers learned from the kids. You know, he brought guests on the show to teach him one of the ones that I saw, there was a kid teaching him how to, I don't even know what you call it. You know, some of the dances that were out there, more urban dances. And, you know, he said that even if you're not perfect, it doesn't matter. You're learning from what's going on. You know, and he made a point, too, of saying that people need to be able to express their feelings. They need to be able to say, I need help, and to be able to find a different people to go to. And I think that's where sometimes we fall down. You know, I read something, too, about a parent that told his three-year-old kid, taught his three-year-old kid that he couldn't cry for anything, nothing. It was not allowed. It was, his son. And the kid has grown up with that indication because that's what he learned and that's what he was able to do or not able to do in that case, and has passed on to his family and his life. And that makes some of that kind of tough, you know? And what do we do with that stuff? But nobody can really say what's right or wrong. Like we've been saying in all of this, it's what can work for you. And, we look for mentors who kind of match our personality, I think, in a lot of cases. In some cases, maybe it's a total opposite personality because that's what you want to aspire to, is change something in yourself. So I think it varies. It really does. Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Jane?
No, I think you pretty well, the reality is people choose and live up to being heroes, mentors, and continue to do that. And whether it's Fred Rogers or whether it's Captain Kangaroo, who was indeed also a military hero, and they choose to live their lives that way. I think some people just do it because that's who they are. I think other people do it because they see a need to be the best they can be. I think it feeds directly back into purpose and why we're all here.
Okay. I think we've pretty much done a good job on this. We have definitely reached our hour of showtime here, so I want to be able to, and I don't see any other callers coming into our board at this point. I'm just doing one last scan over that and making sure. We do have a couple of guests on the line. I'll give the number one more time in case any of you wish to call in, and that number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074.
And I think our point that we've made kind of to summarize is that we're all in this together. We're all connected. And that it's more than just information. It's support in action. And how we give that feedback to one another is so important. That open-ended, no one likes to be told what to do. And one of the pieces that you talked about specifically, Cindy, is with the feedback and communication and pace. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I think the person receiving it needs to go at their pace. And just how, again, appreciative it is to have the mentors that we've had in our lives.
I think one last piece, too, for me is that a reminder that we can all be mentors and we can all have mentors. And they may not be the most likely or expected people in your lives. Keep your eyes and ears open what you might be able to learn from the person passing you on the street, because you never know. And at the same time, what you might be able to offer them.
And is the affirmation for the week is when the student is ready, the teacher appears?
Well, how do we word that into an I am statement, though? Because that's really where our affirmations come from.
So I am ready. For any and all mentors? I'm ready to accept new learning in my life.
Yes,
or support in my life.
We could do that. here. I'm getting into the Facebook page and the post on there to be put that in there for us so that we have it. And, of course, Facebook just took a dive and went to something I didn't tell it to. It lies. There we go. So we can put that in there. There we go, the topic for today. And I realize that for some reason, well, I know why, but the title that shows up on our show is different from the title we use. It was just getting a little too long to post on the Facebook and still chose to do it. So I am ready for all mentors to show up in my life. Is that what we said?
I accept all help and I accept all mentors. I accept all teachers.
I'm ready to accept. That would work. To show up to positively help me toward my purpose, as
there
opposed
you go.
To
I like
okay,
that. Positively help me toward my purpose.
You know, there are some mentors we don't want to accept, and we need to learn that and use that part as well. Let's see. I'm open and available to being mentored and mentoring others. Oh, yes, we do have that other half on there, too.
Yeah.
Well, we can
thank you.
There's an alternative one. I think I'll put both of them up there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joy.
I like it.
There we go. So we can put both of them up there as well this week. So, and as I just mentioned, Ms. Joy, she is our guest for next week. And scroll back here just a little bit. She put my Mr. Rogers link that I had there too. And her topic will be cultivating community by creating a whole new world. So we will post that up on the Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Talk Radio site shortly. We also will put that on Facebook for you all to come join us next week, as our guest will be Joy Steilen. If you are interested in being a part of this show as a guest or have products or services, please do send me an email on that to cindy@purposetalkradio.com, cindy@purposetalkradio.com. Please come over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook on the group and join us with further discussion on this topic. If you can't get to that, please do just send us an email. We'd be happy to share that in the conversations group as well. And just put it under the particular post for this show. If you wish to listen to this show again, share it with your family, friends, enemies. We don't have enemies. Those who may give you some growing edges in life, feel free to do so. The link is the same one to which you are listening live or archived at the moment. The theme song for Purpose Talk Radio, as I mentioned earlier, is I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity, vocalist being Jillian Clark, Rachel Grace, and myself, along with Jillian and other writers on that. They're at TrueTrinity.com. Do we have anything else? Oh, yeah. I don't know. You can find Jane over at I Have a Message for You on Facebook. You can find me at Purpose Talk. You can find Cindy at Purpose Talk Radio. My Facebook coach page, at True Visions Travel, there's a whole lot of things. You can just look up my name, it'll pop up there in several places. Also, you can find me over on Twitter, a couple other social media places. And I think other than that, then we have pretty much wrapping up for this week.
And wish you full blessings.
And so, join you on the song, and until next time.
For that right away. Let's see if I spell it right.
Oh, I see.
What is playing in the background here, folks? I have no idea. Keep going. I don't know what that is.
So.
T on the end.
Right. Her T trips and things like that. Good. You come in and you can talk to us.
I hope that was not playing.